Welcome to Love Rules, the radio ministry of Roxbury Presbyterian Church in Boston. My mom, Liz Walker, was Boston's first African-American television news anchor, but her most important job is what she does right now at RPC, preaching the good news about God's love. The Bible says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. How does that work? Join my mom now as she offers us Love Rules from Roxbury Presbyterian Church.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Love Rules. Today's message, a God mystery. Our text, Ephesians, the third chapter, the fourth through the sixth verses. In reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. Everybody loves a good mystery. Whether it's a book or on TV, I know I'm a big fan of Law & Order. I know most of them by memory. If you don't know, and I think everybody does, you know, Law & Order are detective mysteries. The crime is always pretty interesting. The bad guy is never the first one you suspect. There are plenty of plot twists to keep things moving. And usually, before the last boom boom is over, we figured out who done it. It's a mystery, but it's a game. Paul's mystery, however, is very different. For Paul is not interested in apprehending the bad guys. Paul wants us to comprehend more about God. This mystery that Paul writes about is made known to him by revelation. While we generally think of a mystery as something obscure or puzzling, God's mystery is truth previously unknown and now revealed. This letter is Paul's affirmation that there is always more we need to know about God. And every spiritual truth we learn is decided by God. We don't discover because we're so smart. We learn because God chooses to reveal when, how, and to whom God chooses. The whole of Scripture assures us there is nothing we can learn, discover, recognize, or realize that God does not already know. That seems obvious, but sometimes I think we forget it. God is never surprised. God's wisdom is so great it's beyond our ability to comprehend. Paul put it this way, "For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength." That's 1 Corinthians 1:25. God's wisdom is so great, it is a mystery. I remember once having the honor to be on a radio show with James Carroll. I don't know if you know Carroll, but he's an author, historian, a journalist, a Catholic reformer, a former priest. I mean, he has just a resume that's amazing. It took me about 30 seconds in the studio, sitting across from this man, to know I was way out of my comfort zone. It wasn't just that I couldn't address the subject, but the depth of his knowledge was stunning. Actually, it took a lot of pressure off of me and my competitiveness because I knew that I was just over my head. And I quickly decided I was there to learn. We are way over our heads in terms of our ability to grasp all of God's wisdom, and that's good. How do we begin to comprehend it? Through Jesus Christ. Jesus is God's brilliance in flesh and blood. Jesus is the access to God's wisdom. You can ask for it, and the Bible says, James 1:5, if you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. What a promise! But it's not necessarily ours to get on our own. God gives us what God wants us to know, when and in the way he wants to reveal. So while on TV mysteries, we are the ones who say, gotcha. In Paul's mystery, it's God who says, gotcha. Paul preaches about a God in total control, a God who loves us. And perhaps that is the greatest mystery of all, the mystery of God's love. The love of God is not like any love that we can naturally express here on earth. The Bible says God demonstrates his own love toward us, Romans 5:8, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The revelation here is God's own love. It's not like mama's love or daddy's love or your husband or your wife's love. Human love is generally based on desire. You see something, it's beauty, it's worth, and it attracts you. But God's love is way beyond that. It's sovereign, it's unmotivated, it's spontaneous. It is the nature of God. The power does not come from that to which it is directed. Its power emanates from the source. Human love recognizes value. God's love creates value. I'm going to say that again because I want you to get it. Human love recognizes value. We're attracted to things that we see as valuable, but God's love creates value. Because God loves you, you have value. One of the most serious maladies of our time is the feeling that so many have of being unloved, not accepted, not respected, not acknowledged. You have plenty of people walking up and down our city streets who feel invisible. The feeling of not being loved can manifest itself in many destructive ways. Gangbangers, racists, nationalists, people who just don't like each other, the rage and the hatred that you see in the world. At its core, I'm willing to bet there's some love that's missing there. And Paul is telling the church, well, you're going to have to love some folks who are not like you. People once considered strangers and aliens who are now to be members of the household of God. They need Jesus. The church is no longer an exclusive club. It's an inclusive household. You're going to have to let people join you who are not your blood relations, who are not your friends, who may not think like you. You're going to have to expand your community, perhaps end up with a different kind of community. That's not going to be easy. But what Paul reminds all of us is, we are not a part of this church only as benefactors. We have been called to share this mystery, this revelation of Jesus Christ and his love to the world. This is the revival part of Paul's message, and it's another not so easy responsibility. As members of the body of Christ, and we all are, if we love the Lord, we are called to love and revive the world. It is the job of the church, and I say church with the big C, all of us who are part of the body. That's our work. Don't think that we just became members of the body to sit down and get warm. There's more to it than that. We are called to be, as believers, the church of Jesus Christ. And that means there is some work to do. I love Roxbury Presbyterian Church. You would think I had been there all my life, even though I've only been there a few years. But Roxbury Presbyterian Church is often the site of community meetings, not just because it's located in a central spot in Roxbury, but the church has always, in its history, been a prophetic voice. And that's not predicting the future. That's speaking God's truth. That's speaking God's truth to power. That's what RPC does, to raise the moral and ethical standards in our community. We are supposed to do that individually and corporately, and we're supposed to do it with words when necessary. But there's more to it than that. Verse 10, Paul says, God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Our work is not simply to take on the owners of the liquor store that I know I shouldn't be talking about this, but the liquor stores are problems in urban areas. And our job is not just to take on the owners. We are called to be part of the transformation of the spirit that causes people to abuse the liquor stores, to use them, and to drink liquor so much that they don't know how to get on in life. That doesn't mean you have to go down and burn the liquor stores. It means you work with people who are suffering from alcoholism. And in many urban areas, that is a demon that has to be dealt with. We are called to proclaim Christ understanding that the war we wage is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers of this present darkness. How does that work? How can a struggling little church, which just over 100 members, take on spiritual powers of evil in the heavenly realm? We have to believe, despite everything we see to the contrary, that God's love is powerful enough to overcome any obstacle. That is the message. That is the great aha from the church to the world. That God intends and is already at work to bond all humankind to Jesus through Jesus. That is the mystery that we have to live out in our lives. Now, I know if you've listened to my radio broadcast over the last few weeks that I've been on, you think I'm against all liquor, and that is not the case. But I just see some of the negative impacts in urban areas where we have to fight drug abuse, alcoholism, and all of those what I call demons from people who really don't have the strength to know moderation. And so I think that that is one of the responsibilities of a Christian, to really take that on. Do I sound like one of those people from the temperance movement? Perhaps so. But I think that churches and people who love the Lord have to take on real issues because we love the Lord. It's not enough to sit in the church and just be warm and be moved by the songs. We have to stand up for the love of God. And there's so many ways to do that. It should happen in your home. It should happen in your church. It should happen in your neighborhood. That is how we live out the mystery. Paul says the mystery is God's love. God's love involves all of the world. And we have to step out and witness to that love in every way we can. Thanks for joining. Be blessed.
Thank you for tuning in. Roxbury Presbyterian Church is located at 328 Warren Street, right in the heart of Roxbury. Come worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. This is a listener-supported program. We invite you to partner with us and learn the many ways that love rules. Visit us on our website, roxburypresbyterianchurch.org, or call us at 617-445-2116. Love will rain if you let me.